Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
272. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Pretty good, Andy. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Been kind of a rocky couple of weeks. I went back on keto, so not normally. I've only done it once before, but last time I did it, didn't have any problems. This time, I got the keto flu.
Ah.
Oh, did I get it? I thought I had COVID. But I had no fever, which is the only piece that you don't get, you know, with keto. So had no idea what was going on. Sore throat, headache, muscle aches. I got the quick antibody test or the fast antibody, whatever the hell it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing, you know, so I was like, shit, do I just have like another flu or an infection? And then I remembered, you know, that I started keto the week before, not a full week, but like, you know, at that point,
right.
4 days earlier. And I was like, holy shit, let me go look up those symptoms. Yep. Yep. That's what it was.
Yep.
Oh, it hit me hard, man.
I am sorry about that. Pretty good.
Good.
Why did you go back on keto?
Partially because I was feeling like I was kind of spiraling out of control in terms of what I was eating, but also because my thyroid issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on suppressant because my thyroid is hyperactive due to my autoimmune system attacking it.
Copy.
That's the Graves' disease stuff. So I put on 35 pounds since they put me on the blocker.
Okay.
Haven't changed any of my food intake or anything. I just put on 35 pounds, literally just living the same life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, fuck this. I mean, I wasn't quite back up to, you know, the 410 I was at one point,
but mm-hmm.
much higher than I wanted to be. So I'm already 5 down in the week and a half I've been doing keto. It's that shock, though. It's that first, you know, first week shock. It'll start slowing down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I feel a lot better. It just in general, apart from that chunk where I felt terrible. And yeah.
How long did it last for you?
Well, I still have a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Still have a little bit. So, about a week right now.
Yeah.
A little less than a week is how long I've had it. The headaches and muscle aches are gone. The throat, I've got a lot of phlegm,
mm-hmm.
and I'm clearing my throat a lot. And I think that's, so I don't think my sore throat is from the keto flu anymore. I think it's from my body still not adjusting like my mucus.
Right.
So I'm clearing my throat all the time, and that's what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, very interesting time this time, because it really, like I said, the first time I went on this, it did not hit me that hard. It just didn't. I had as I call them, the no sugar angries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't call them that. I've never called them that. I'm calling them that for the podcast. But yeah, I had the no sugar angries, and that was it the first time through. Like, I got like the minor headaches you get with that and everything, but nothing big. This time around, I was flattened, man. I was flattened. Yeah. Oh, well. It's probably coupled with the thyroid, right? So,
oh yeah, it could be the other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, how were your weeks?
I think in general they were okay. I am currently putting the feelers out for other employment opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Things have just gotten stupid at Amazon. It's not so much, well, it is a little bit. Well, not our company. It's just hoops that Amazon's making us jump through. So now, instead of starting at 6:30 in the morning, which worked really well for me because the latest I could work was 10 hours, and that would be 4:10.
Mm-hmm.
And the absolute latest I could work would be 6:10 at 12 hours if they paid for overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would afford me the ability to do theater still, even
right.
getting down to Tacoma, and would require me to take, you know, I'd already taken Sundays off, and those are typically the only matinee days.
Mm-hmm.
I could make everything else. So, you know, I was feeling pretty good about it. Well, now we start at 9:30, which means I'm typically getting off around still. I've been doing, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock. But the other thing it doesn't let me do is on any of my days do anything else. So I got a new pair of eyeglasses. Really excited. And they called me literally 30 minutes after I started working on Wednesday to say they had my glasses. No, they're not open on the weekend. Yes, they close at 5. So that meant I had to wait an entire week to get my glasses.
That sucks.
And then trying to do anything else, you know, during the days is not great. They are now taking away our paper pick sheets. They're still dropping the ball on everything they've always dropped the ball on. They're not fixing anything. They're just giving us fewer and fewer tools to work with. Mm-hmm. It is getting bloody fucking cold in the morning and wet. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of done. So I've been looking at MedStar, which is a medical transport.
Mm-hmm.
Typically wheelchaired or non-wheelchaired individuals. Sort of depends upon where you're at. In Seattle, there's a lot of Harbor View.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just picking up at Harbor View, driving, dropping somebody off, going back to Harbor View, dropping somebody off, doing that all day. Tacoma, you might have some regular people that you service, and it's taken them to, you know, the grocery store, hair appointments, doctor appointments, that sort of thing.
Right, right.
Have an interview for a medical delivery system tomorrow. So currently still in the driving realm, but I'm just kind of getting the feelers out there. to kind of see what's available.
Okay.
Also found out that there's a medical pavilion just 3 minutes from me, and they needed some receptionist or healthcare patient initiators or intake or I don't know. Anyway, put in for that. Started looking at a couple other jobs that kind of excited about, maybe going back into IT. For either Kent, the city of Kent, or the Seattle Housing Authority is looking for an IT person.
Cool.
Pay pretty well, city jobs, driving around fixing computers and stuff. I could do that. And again, fits my I don't have to worry about the job when I leave.
Right, right,
you
which
know,
is super important.
Yeah. So, just trying to expand horizons and look at some other things, you know. I got back in the workforce, and now I, you know, I'm done digging ditches, want something a little warmer, a little,
a
little less. I mean, it's all good. I know. I've had all sorts of different jobs, and I know there's bullshit wherever you go, but the stuff that's happening right now is difficult because there's no advocacy at all. And I kind of talked to supervisor, you know, my direct supervisor about that. A, I don't think I'm going to be dispatching anytime soon. B, not sure I want to deal with the headaches of dispatching now that I know how the sausage is made. Kind of thought I did, now kind of don't. And also, when I was talking about, you know, hey, everybody's kind of grumbling, you know, Hersey left and then Amazon's throwing all these changes at us and, you know, there's really no one to advocate for us. He's like, yeah, they just got to get that out of their head. There's not going to be any advocacy. We just need to do what we're told. And I'm like, okay, that I get it. I understand that that's what this job entails to be successful. That's not anywhere remotely close to what I want to be a part of.
No, that's pretty terrible.
Yeah,
that's not great.
You know, I get it. I do. Amazon's huge. The warehouse is one very small part of Amazon, and the dispatch driving companies are an even infinitesimally smaller part of that without much of a voice. But, you know, if there's no place for us to go, then, you know, that's that's just, you know, if you're going to take away our pick sheet that tells us in black and white, this bag is the seventh one on your stops today, and you take that away, and they have a drawing where the first bag is the bottom right, second bag is the middle, third bag is the bottom left, fourth bag is the middle right, fifth bag is the middle middle, and you get nine bags on a cart. They can't even load the carts that way. And so you're pulling bags from different places trying to get it all organized. And, you know, I'm not going to get hit for being slow on my route because I have to reorganize what the dipshits didn't get done the first time. And if there's no repercussion for that, if there's no attaboy for me taking on extra to get this still done in the same amount of time because I corrected somebody else's fuck up, and that's just what we expect you to do, that doesn't ever get better. So
I can see what you're saying there. Sorry, by the way, if you hear draining in the background, I forgot and started the dishwasher like an idiot.
I can't hear anything, so
okay. At least the house is clean.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of hearing stuff, please let us know how you feel about the quality of today's podcast, because we both have had some minor changes. Scott's had a minor equipment change, and I'm switching over to Audacity from Audition. I know that in my ear, Scott, you're clipping, but I think that's Discord. I think Discord is amplifying your voice, so I think it's clipping in that regard.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the waveform and it's fine, it's fine. So I'm not worried about it, but Discord is pushing you a little hot, so you're clipping in my ear.
Yeah, I've gone in and figured that out in settings. It defaults to 100% of the 100% of the Windows system. So I ended up having to crank yours down a little bit too in Discord.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And yeah, I went back to my old setup, and I have learned a new technique for audio. So before we used to take, we'd get room tone, and then we'd do removal. Well, there's a new deal. I'm really hoping. Okay, good. It's still recording while I'm doing this. It's in amplitude and compression, and it's basically you go into dynamic processing and put what's called a gate. So I kind of look at where everything of our voice stops. And then I go a little bit below that and I just crash everything out. And so if you're too aggressive, sometimes at the end, depending upon how you speak, the end of your words can get sucked out. If you kind of tail off, they'll just drop. And so I kind of listen for some of that, but I'm not going to listen to the whole podcast to make sure that nothing dropped. So I just, I've kind of gotten better at making those judgments, but then it's just, there's nothing in the background. There's no need. I mean, yes, it will be there when we're talking. They'll, you know, someone would be able to hear the dishwasher, but if it's just at a low threshold on the spectrum, then I can just clear it all out and it's much easier and way more responsive, because then by doing that, it's not taking any of the audio quality out with room tone removal. So
yeah, room tone removal really does a number on the actual waveform of your voice.
Yeah. So, this tends to, it does a gate, and it also does sort of a compression, so it tries to normalize some of the peaks and valleys and gives you a more solid block of speech. So hopefully the last one, I finally figured out how to get everything on it, so this will be an interesting test.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yep. Cool. I wish I had a dump button on this thing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that it doesn't have that I really wish it had.
I don't know. If you weren't coughing on a podcast, I think people would think we just switched over to AI.
That's true.
Just kidding. We did.
It's part of the
anyway,
algorithm.
AI, Scott. Yeah, no joke. You are now part of the algorithm. That was part of getting hired as an Amazon driver, is you become part of the algorithm.
Yeah. Yes. AIAD.
Oh. Angus dot. No, I don't know. Anyway.
Andy
Angus
dot Borowski.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm keeping it simple, man.
Do it. Keep it simple. Now we're in a different band entirely.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, it sucks that they're doing that. It's great that you're sort of on the lookout and already sort of planning to try and land somewhere else. Very quickly recognizing that's not going to work, I think, is key to not having as much stress with this. Knowing now that, like, no, this isn't going to work, and working toward that, I think is great.
Yeah, because it's something that I can continue to do in the interim while I'm looking. And, you know, the MedStar thing, they've got a really weird pay structure. You know, it says, oh, you're getting paid like, you know, $18.75 an hour, but it's a base rate of 5 plus this, that, and the other thing. And if you're sitting around waiting for a ride, you know, so if you're not on the Harborview 8 hours full-time shift and you're sitting around waiting for someone to call for a ride, you're just getting paid $5 standby. So that's not really going to work for me. You know, so the MDS place has a little bit better health package, so I get dental included and vision and medical and all that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Plus, I think they have a 401k match that doesn't happen, you know, with where I'm at now. So I'm kind of looking at those things of, okay, and even at $19.25 an hour, which is what I'm paid to drive, it still seems that all of a sudden my checks are really sub below where I think they should be. And I don't know what it is. So yeah, I'm just kind of open and looking for some stuff in that area, especially where I don't have to be out in the cold and feel like crap most of the time.
Yeah, no joke, no joke.
I'll get off that horse now.
Well, if you're on a horse, that's your problem. They're not heated. They're not heated, Scott. I mean, they're kind of heated.
They're, yeah.
You have to slice them open with a lightsaber and climb inside of them.
And then they're heated. And no wonder it's I'm not getting done in 8 hours.
Yeah, no joke. You're on Tauntaun time, buddy.
I'm only delivering at 1 horsepower.
Oh.
Oh, go Tampa Bay, by the way. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Tom Brady has now personally won more Super Bowls than entire franchises. The top franchises have won Super Bowls. So he has won 7 with 2 teams, and New England Patriots have won 6. Pittsburgh Steelers, as an organization, have won 6.
Mm-hmm.
No organization has won more than 6, to the best of my knowledge.
Right.
So this one guy at 43 years old is came to a bottom basement team, and in literally a season, granted a weird season, but it really hasn't impacted the game all that much. They went from basically a seller team to a stellar team.
Wordplay.
Yeah, in one season, so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't watch any of it, but I never do really. So
yeah, it was 31-9. It was a boring ass game.
Mm.
A few of the commercials were worth it. Most of them were not. Yeah, it was kind of ho hum.
Yeah, well, the world can use a little ho hum right now, I suppose.
Yes, it can.
So. Cool. Well, my weeks were pretty boring. We're doing a refi, so we had to, you know how like you brush your teeth before you go to the dentist like crazy? So before the appraiser came, we cleaned the house.
Yeah.
Which is, it's been great. Like we've kept it clean for a bit and we are continuing to keep it clean and that's pretty great. Let's see, I beat the medium. I don't know if we talked about it. I don't think we did. The medium is a game on the Xbox Series consoles and PC. It's not available on the older consoles at all.
Okay.
And basically it's this split world concept where you're walking the line between life and death as a person who can occupy both at the same time because of a childhood trauma, which is it sounds more interesting to say it feels not played out, but it feels like something that is very it seems like an easy premise, and that's fine. Easy premises are great. It's how you execute them, right? So basically the whole thing is Polish. Like it's I don't know, it's aggressively Polish. It's very much about socialist Poland and the rise of Nazism in Poland and the fall of Nazism in Poland and things like that. There's a lot of block architecture in it. The ghost world, and I'm not talking using your nunchucks in the middle of a parking lot ghost world. I'm talking the world in the game where you're walking with the dead, I guess, is heavily Beksinski inspired. He's a Polish painter, and he paints these terrible hellscapes. So fantastic looking. The game looks great, even though it's not like a technical marvel in terms of the number of pixels on screen, because it can't be. I mean, it's running two simultaneous, completely separate worlds at once. So it's cranking out a lot of horsepower, but it's not putting that up there as like high pixel count. But when it's, when it looks good, it looks really good. So I would say the biggest problem with it overall is Microsoft really hung too much on that hook, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The new generation has come out. The new generation is handily being dominated by PlayStation 5. Even outside of sales, PlayStation 5 has, I think, a million more sales than Xbox Series consoles have. But even outside of that, PlayStation 5 just has more new games out with their console. They have not third-party games. Like, they have first-party games like Miles Morales. They have the Spider-Man remaster. You can only get those on PlayStation 5. They have Astro's Playroom, which I know sounds goofy, but it's actually supposed to be fantastic. There are a few things that PlayStation 5 has that kind of came out with the system that aren't cross-gen, that really do show it off. So owing to that, Microsoft had this game, The Medium, coming out. It was the one that couldn't be cross-gen. It could not play on the Xbox One or the Xbox One X. It barely plays on most PCs. It is a power hog.
Huh.
And so they hung all their next-gen hopes and dreams on it and basically made this little indie game that could have been something that you discovered and told people about and were like, wow, yeah, it's really neat. It's really interesting. It's really unique. And you would have talked about it the way people talk about things like Alan Wake, or which I'm going to get to that in a bit too. There's a whole other thing there, but, or the way people talk about, you know, the Gone Home or Amnesia even, where it wasn't like a smash hit, but there was no marketing for it to disappoint. But there was so much marketing and so much hype about this game, and it just could not live up to that. There is no feasible way this game could have lived up to what Microsoft piled upon it. So owing to that, I would say if you have Game Pass and you have the ability to play it, absolutely give it a play. It's very quick, somewhere between 8 and 10 hours, depending on how snoopy you are. Like, I snoop around and check everything. So for me, it was a slightly longer game. I also decided to take a lot of pictures in game. It's really short for a modern game. Most modern games are trying to come in at the 25 to 40 hour mark. Ain't nobody got time for that. I'm an adult. I have a job. I got to do shit. So these short games are fantastic. I would have absolutely recommended it, and I still absolutely recommend it. Just go in knowing it is not what the advertising wants you to think it is. It is not going to show you that you made the right console decision if you got stuck with an Xbox Series X. It's not going to do that. It is just a game with outdated controls that is somewhere between a walking simulator and Resident Evil. And sometimes you have to use these clunky controls to do in-game action scenes, and that's when the game just falls on its face because the controls are not good enough for that. But when it is really chugging along, though, it's a great game. When it's really, like, really got you invested and you're really looking for something and you're emotionally attached to what is going on the screen and you want to find out what's happening and you want to see the next thing, that's when it really succeeds. Unfortunately, that is not the entire game. So I also played Control a little bit. Control is stupid.
Don't hold back.
Yeah, people love Control. And you know, I mean, if you love a game, you love a game. Great, fine. I'm not telling you don't play it. Control is pretentious, stupid bullshit based on SCP stories people swapped around on Reddit. So, like, that's dumb. And the game is dumb, and the game thinks it's really smart because it thinks it's House of Leaves, and it thinks it's David Lynchian, and it is neither of those. It is what a person who had those described to them thinks those are, and that's fine, I guess. The game itself has some fun mechanics that feel good right up until they don't. There's sort of a force element to it. But I've played better Force games. I've played better games that use Force powers. Force Unleashed 2, Force Unleashed 1 even. But even Fallen Order uses Force powers, I think, more effectively. This game is it's very pretty. It's got ray tracing. It's got bells and whistles. But it is so full of itself. It is so fucking full of itself. And okay, fine, I guess. It's related. So I mentioned Alan Wake earlier.
Uh-huh.
This game is related to Alan Wake. It's like same universe as Alan Wake, which is interesting. Like, that's kind of cool, I guess. I realized when watching the videos in this game play, the person who plays Alan Wake is the guy who played Will Scarlett O'Hara in Robin Hood Men in Tights. We're from Georgia. You know, the knife guy who dusts the arrow when it gets shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
Want you to fire an arrow, strike me on. You know, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
that's Alan Wake. I mean, that's always been Alan Wake. It's the same guy. So that's really funny to me. Yeah, I guess if you like that SCP stuff, the like secret experimental creatures locked away in a giant vault that itself is also a creature, or if you liked House of Leaves, the book, you'll probably like Control, and I'm not going to take that away from you. I think it's stupid and pretentious. I'll finish it. It's short enough that I'll finish it, but yeesh. Other than that, yeah, cleaning the house, hanging stuff, like doing some of the minor fixes we've been putting off. That's been mostly what I've been doing. Haven't really watched anything new. I mean, I watched WandaVision, but I'm not going to say a goddamn thing about WandaVision. Apart from a month ago, I called episode 5. Well, I didn't. We did as a group, Tyler and Taylor and I. We called what happened, but we said, oh, they'll never have the guts. Well, they had the guts, so that's pretty cool. That's as much as I can say about that. Yeah.
Okay.
No new movies, really. No new much of anything apart from just games.
I did watch the new Denzel movie that's on HBO now. The Little Things.
Gotcha.
Quite good. I was hoping it would be like the new Seven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. I don't know if it was because I was watching it at home and not on a big, I mean, it's not like it's Top Gun or Star Wars where it needs to be on a big screen.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes you just get that, I don't know, conspiratorial thing with the group happening and as you're watching the film. And with just me, it was like, okay, yeah, I can kind of see some of this happening and going on. And right. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't everything that I had hoped for.
Gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha.
But Denzel's awesome. Malik is awesome. Even Leto is okay. It's really easy when I don't like him when he plays a unlikable character to go, yeah, nailed it, dude. I really don't like you. I feel okay about that.
Agreed.
And it's not that he's a bad actor. I have liked him in many things that I've seen him before he tried to do the Joker. And
he's not a bad actor. He's just a bad actor, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. I want to say there's some other thing. Oh, I started watching The Escapist with Bellotti or Ballatore from Mythbusters and Richard Hammond from Grand Tour and
wait, Tori Belleci?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And they've got a new thing on Prime that's pretty. It's not as good as the Grand Tour or the Top Gear stuff.
Gadget Man? How does it square up to Gadget Man?
I haven't seen Gadget Man.
Oh, okay.
They're just stuck. They're shipwrecked on an island, and over time, they create things left out of the shipwreck stuff. Except, you know that they didn't. They did, but they didn't. And so they do things like, oh, we're going to make a battery and we need to charge the cell phone. So they use yucca plant nails and copper pennies. And yes, you can do it. And they show that, you know, you need about 250 yucca plants with these things in it to charge a phone for a 1-amp, 5-volt system or something.
Right.
And so, you know, that's entertaining because the guys are entertaining. I finished The Expanse. I want to say there's a couple other things that I've watched and completed, but so far all of my, now that The Expanse is done, I'm going to go back and watch season 2 of The Boys.
Yeah, I would. I really liked it a lot, but I also didn't like parts of it.
Yeah. That's how I felt about season 1, but that's okay because I like Carl Urban, so I'll watch it for him. And I'm trying to work my way through The Mandalorian, but I'm also trying to do that with Jen. And you know, there's no time, or that's not what either of us want to watch at that moment. So I'm only 2 episodes in. But yeah, digging it.
Yeah,
the second episode seemed to go really, really fast for some reason.
Some of them do. Some of them really seem to fly by. Like there are some episodes, and you'll go look at the runtime and you'll be like, wait, really?
Yeah.
How is that the same? But they just, the pacing on them, you just eat them up and they're gone.
Yeah. And goddamn Favreau for bringing giant spiders into anything. Fuck it. Hated that. Yeah.
Well, so they shouldn't have gone into Fangorn Forest, man.
True.
I do like that one X-Wing pilot is the dad from Kim's Convenience. I love him.
Yeah.
He's a really good actor. He's like a LA-born, you know, he often plays the old Korean dad, but he was LA born. So he's sometimes he'll play the subvert your expectations sort of Pat Morita type of character. And he was a great addition, I think, to the Star Wars universe because he looks enough like someone you've already seen in Star Wars.
Yes.
For you to kind of like try to place him almost.
Yep.
You know, but this person would obviously be 110 now because everything happened 30 years ago, but, or 30, fuck, almost 50, 45. I don't, who cares? Anyway. I'm excited for you to get through Mando. I would love to have an in-depth discussion about it, watched again, and then have an in-depth discussion about it with you as a lifelong Star Wars fan. Particularly about some of the choices they make. I really like how they do callbacks more than almost any other show that does callbacks because they're non-intrusive. And
yeah. I
would love to talk about that like in depth because there are some deep cuts and they do not draw attention to them. They just exist in that world.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get on to some questions because I can feel my voice starting to tickle a little in the back here. So it's probably going to go soon. Last week we asked you if you could have a private quarantine concert right now, but it had to be in your current residence, who would it be? I'll go ahead and take the first one. Rob McLennan writes, Scott took my answer. Hello. He's a bard. So I'll go with my number two choice, Smash Mouth. Fuck the neighbors. Somebody once told me. Go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Smash Mouth the idiots that played Sturgis?
Smash Mouth are the idiots who played Sturgis. Smash Mouth played the Windows XP release party. I was there for that.
Right, but didn't they play Sturgis this year without the masks and all that? Okay.
Yeah. They're not called Smart Mouth, dude. They're called Smash Mouth.
True, true.
When they played the Windows party, they just kept asking people to give them a PC, like, unironically. They kept just, you guys give me a computer, because you're Microsoft, you give me a computer. And it was so embarrassing for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it. If you hate your neighbors, it's fantastic.
Oh, my turn. Yes, yeah, sorry. Casey Lee says, BNL all the way. With Stephen Page returning, I would also want to sit in. Bare Naked Ladies. Okay.
Yeah. I
took me a minute. I don't know who Stephen Page is, so that didn't help me. It was just crashing through my, what's the password thing? The password hacker?
The password hacker?
Yeah, like the brute force. I was brute forcing BNL to try and figure out all the music groups. I'm like, not Boston. Nope. Too few letters.
Benectric Night Orchestra, obviously.
Yes.
Bare Naked Ladies are pretty good. Pretty good. Paula Moran writes, Camelot, because symphonic metal... oh, my God. Because symphonic metal fuels my creativity. I hope you don't have neighbors you like or neighbors who like metal a lot. Because I would see Camelot being a situation where you'd need more room than I have. And I have a lot of room.
Yeah.
That'd be like putting Chris Cornell anywhere, really.
Well, not anymore.
He's a little quieter now, I'll agree.
Yeah. Speaking of Camelot, which is symphonic metal, Camelot with a K, for those who aren't reading the screen like we are, I also heard, I can't believe that I don't know of this band, but I am going to see if I can find some samples. Mice and Men is a really good, I'll call it rage metal. One of the other drivers had it blaring in his van when we were at the pad after work. And I'm like, who is this? He's like, Mice and Men, dude, they rock. And I'm like, fuck, I was in Mice and Men. He's like, that rocks. So
wait, it's not a mashup between Modest Mouse and Manfred Mann?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it is like Slipknot on steroids.
It is
a Tourette syndrome drummer. Yeah, I mean, I was sitting in my van just kind of going, yep, that's what I need today.
Our percussion section is just Jerry saying fuck all the time. It's great. I listened to, so I don't, I like metal, but I like classic metal, not death metal, not thrash metal. Some thrash metal's okay. I like classically inspired thrash metal, but someone was like, you should check out Cannibal Corpse. And I checked out Cannibal Corpse. You should not check out Cannibal Corpse. They're fine, I guess, apart from one of them being a literal, actual Sig Heil Nazi. So fuck that guy. But, you know, the band separated themselves from him. Surely they knew. Surely they knew. But until it was public knowledge, they didn't care. So, whatever. But it wasn't good. Like, I listened to it, and it just wasn't good. It was the cartoon stuff for Metalocalypse is better, and that's just made for a cartoon.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. I think you have the next one. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Brad McGowan writes, Jello Biafra and Henry Rollins with me while we watch the Pixies.
That is bordering on abusing this wish, but mm-hmm. I'll let it slide. I'll let it slide. You should have Jell-O play, because it doesn't matter how big your apartment is. There's always room for Jell-O.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Or you could get one of those mashups like Cello Biafra, where they play all of his stuff, but, you know, on two cellos. I actually like that one, though, because I would, any excuse to be able to see the Pixies would be amazing.
Yes, and hang out with Henry Rollins.
Yes. Rival Guy writes, Van Canto. They haven't toured North America, and an a cappella group will fit and not bother the neighbors. Going back to Chris Cornell, don't necessarily agree that an a cappella group won't bother the neighbors, mm-hmm. but I'm sure that the whole background here is they would sing softly, you know.
True. Dougie Sharp says, I would have to follow some sound ordinances with my apartment.
Thank you, Dougie.
And with that, I would go with acoustic Jimmy Buffett.
Hell yes.
Good call.
That is a great apartment. But plus, you know he would bring the good alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know he would. James Peters writes, I'm honestly not much of a concert person, but I think an in-home performance by Weird Al would be rad. You could have him do spoken word UHF or just a table read. That would be great. Yeah, that would be... apart from They Might Be Giants, that might be a choice I would make as well. Maybe Tom Lear as well. I know that I made a bunch of choices last time, but, you know, let's bump it up again. Why not? I don't have a question for this week, Scott. Do you have a question for this week?
What is the biggest headache you've ever encountered at work?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yes. I know for me, it was literally my 2 years and 8 months working at Amazon just the entire time. That was it. It was like a migraine that didn't end for 2 years and 8 months.
What did I say? Your biggest what?
Headache.
Got in my words. Yeah.
Yeah. Your biggest headache at work, basically, in your history at work. For me, it was, I'm not even joking. It was Amazon, and it was me taking a very, very obvious, potentially harmful bug through the various chains of command as they kept denying that it was a very harmful bug. And getting it denied and turning around and having to do a hot fix for it just a month later, because it turned out to be a very harmful bug. Like I said, I won't go into it because I won't. But it was bad. It was bad.
And you knew it was bad.
And I knew it was bad.
Jamone. Yeah. Okay. So then we will get into some questions that you have for us.
I like this part.
That first one would be from Dougie Sharp, who asks, I watched some trailers for what I'm assuming are lower budget short films, though they could have been for full length movies. I had the thought that better lighting would really improve this, improve this to not look as amateur. For those budget project for low for those lower budget projects, what aspect of filmmaking pulls you out of the experience the quickest?
Sound. 100% sound. Lighting is second, but the gap is very big. Sound is the quickest way to tell me either you had, like, you didn't have someone controlling anything, or you made bad choices. Bad sound is inexcusable. And I don't mean it's inexcusable in that, like, the person who did it is a horrible person who needs to be walked off a plank. I just mean it is impossible to be immersed in anything if the sound is bad. Look at our podcast.
Indeed.
Lighting is second, hard shadows, choosing to do experimental stuff when you don't know what you're doing. So, like, a lot of people will shoot higher frame rates thinking they're being Peter Jackson, and it just ends up looking like it was shot on videotape.
Like LaToya Jackson?
Like LaToya Jackson. Yeah. Peter Jackson and LaToya Jackson are my favorite Jackson.
See,
I really should do an album.
I'd have to know more specifically what they were, because if it's, you know, a horror film or found footage or moody, there's a lot of even high budget films that are out now that do some weird things with lighting, because that seems to be sort of a little bit of a phase that people are going through. And
I would argue when it's obviously not intentional that it's bad. That's what we're talking. I think that the intentional stuff, like found footage, obviously, you need to light well for that, in that you need to not light at all for it.
Right.
But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But I mean, I'm saying that if what we're talking about right now is for films. What I'm talking about is if you're watching trailers. Sometimes you don't have color corrected stuff and you're trying to get buzz going about your thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes because it's a trailer, I'm going to do it all moody, because that's kind of what people do. I want to keep it dark and ambiguous, and, you know, we don't want to give away the Cloverfield monster. Please just keep it hidden
give it
the
away.
Entire fucking time.
Just give it away. Just sell it at a yard sale.
You know, that sort of stuff. So it really kind of depends upon the trailer. Some of that may in fact look bad, but be intentional. And some of it absolutely is probably not intentional.
Yeah. I think overall though, if I had to pick, sound is definitely the one. That's the thing that'll pull me out of a movie the quickest. Paula Moran asks, do you think augmented reality headsets would be a good addition to tabletop and LARP, or would they take away from the experience? I think that is entirely dependent on your tabletop and LARP group. I think that if you have a bunch of people who are not familiar with technology, you're going to spend the entire LARP talking about the headset and getting people set up and getting people used to it and telling people how to use it and having people basically go through that experience of, oh, this is weird, and talking about the technology. So it's going to take them out of the LARP or the tabletop game, because they're experiencing the technology first. I think if you had an ongoing campaign and knew how to really set this thing up, it would be an amazing, amazing way to bring people together. Like, you could do augmented reality where you actually see characters, you know, sitting across from you. You could see their dice roll. You could see, you know, their characters on a map. You could see their minis and all that stuff. I think from that standpoint, it would be great. You know, a dragon attacks and all of a sudden a fireball appears in the middle of the room. Like, that kind of stuff could be very immersive and very cool. but I think it would have to be an ongoing campaign, and it would not get there until like the third or fourth time, because the technology itself would be the centerpiece the first few times.
Yeah. I've never used an augmented reality headset. So I'm assuming that's the one where it kind of projects something into reality, so it's not an immersive VR mm-hmm. world.
Right.
I've never LARPed, truly. Mm-hmm. I think I've done things that are similar to LARPing, but not a full
LARP adjacent. You know,
I mean, like what we did for that murder mystery is kind of LARPing.
Mick Sterling Thong was kind of LARPing.
Yeah.
As a pretentious douchebag author.
Yes. Which, minus the author, wasn't much of a stretch.
That's a good point. A good point.
And for me, just the tabletop, I don't want that. I mean, it's the fun of, I'm imagining one thing that's probably close to what Andy's imagining, but it's not also, on the same hand, probably not even close to what Andy's imagining. Yet we're both fighting the same bad guy. Mm-hmm. And if I had some of that concretely displayed mm-hmm. for me, that would ruin some of that. Is there a way that it could be used? I'm sure that it could be. But for me right now, just as a, you know, hey, we could do it this way or do it this way. At this point, I would always say, no, let's just keep it old school.
Well, and it's an extra moving piece, right?
Yeah.
It's that extra bit of, you know, you have to have the tech. Everybody has to be savvy enough with it to make it happen. Additionally, augmented reality, you can see everyone else wearing their headsets. So if you're doing future LARP, like if you're doing a space setting, that's kind of cool. Like that would actually fit really well. Until something that's Google Glass, but better than Google Glass comes along, I guess, where it just looks like everybody's wearing glasses. A barbarian is not going to wear glasses. I don't care how bad his eyesight is. He doesn't need to be able to read close-up text to smash. So that would take you out as well. But yeah, I feel like, and this is just personal thought, right? If augmented reality were an accepted real-world thing, in terms of people using it all the time, like cell phones, you know,
mm-hmm.
that would be one thing. That would be fine. You could do a LARP with an earpiece where you're hearing instructions and stuff, and you know, everyone's so used to earpods and AirPods and Bluetooth headsets and stuff, like nobody would bat an eye at that anymore. Like it's not intrusive technology. An augmented reality headset is still too bells and whistles new, I think, for people to not have it be distracting.
Yeah.
So basically, when your grandma asks for one for Christmas, that's when it's time to pull it out for LARP. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you got the next one. Sorry.
Yeah. Brad McGowan asks, if I raged against the machine, would I find myself in the matrix of Strawberry Fields Forever? I think,
wake up,
Brad, you would.
Smell the incense and peppermints. The strawberry alarm clock is going off, Brad. You can't live in this fake world. You're Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds right now, buddy. Come on down. I raged against machines.
Oh, Rob, I could go with Clockwork Orange, so.
Well, Strawberry Alarm Clock with incense and peppermint, something in time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the words, but they rhyme.
There we go. Strawberry Alarm Clockwork Orange. There we go.
Oh, my God. That's kind of terrifying. They're dropping acid into his eyes instead of just the eye drops.
Yeah.
That would make a bit of the ultraviolence a little freakier. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Rob McLennan writes, "What is your dream piece of almost affordable tech? not win the lottery grade, but something just beyond what you can justify spending on." I've got two right now. One is a 3090. That's also unattainable because it's fucking unattainable. They're made out of unicorn dicks or something. Basically, all of the big chip die houses are working at capacity right now, and they can't pump out anymore. And scalpers and bots who are probably ironically using these CUDA cores to make bots to get more of these fucking CUDA cores. It's impossible to get one, not just financially, but also physically. Getting one is a money, insurmountable money problem, that I'm not willing to spend that money on.
Tariffs too.
Well, yeah, there's that too. The second thing that I would love to get, which is not win the lottery money, but it's not, I think it's a little further than what you're asking. And that would be a fiber channel rack mount NAS. So get something along the lines of 1 petaflop of rack mounted storage with a fiber channel backend for all my editing and stuff. That would be the other thing. That's probably going to be, you know, as much as a mid-range sedan to get. So maybe that is lottery money, but it's close enough that I think it fits this.
Yeah. Yeah. I it's like you say, it's not, you know, if you needed to do it, you could get a couple credit cards, put them on that, pay it off.
Yeah.
hopefully get a couple jobs that then pay them off for you. But, I think, and I don't know because I haven't researched it. I don't believe it to be too far off base of what you're asking, but would be a slightly more flexible or full bodied, to use the wine vernacular, recording setup. Where it's not just going through the audio box, actually would have a board and could have a dump button and could bring in, you know, extra sources and that sort of thing, I think would be really cool. And I also think, and this isn't win the lottery. It's easily affordable. But I would say it's tech, kind of. It would be a dry suit for scuba diving, because they're about $2,000 to $3,000 that I don't have, that I can not justify because I don't really get cold with the other. It's just a huge hella pain in the ass and very constrictive when I'm out of the water. The other to go with that would be a full face breathing system. And they have them now where your regulator is built in, and it's not a full helmet. It's still attached with straps to your face, but it reduces. I mean, if you have a hood on and you have this thing on, your face isn't exposed to the water. And because you're breathing inside of it, it doesn't fog up. And you don't have the thing in the middle of your nose. I might even be able to wear a pair of glasses while I was diving and really be able to see things accurately. I think those would be the two things that I would want. and more hard drives for my second QNAP that they accidentally gave me that I still have.
Right. Yeah, I think I definitely... I don't think the storage is the fun answer. I think that the dry suit's way more fun an answer by far. The dry suit is a... that's just a great answer.
Well, I don't know that it's a great answer. It's not very techie.
It kind of is. Is it, though? Like, I mean, let's... did it exist 50 years ago?
Oh, God, no. Neither did the Aqualung. Barely.
Sitting on the park bench. Yeah,
I'm gonna do girls with... Oh, we can't sing that song anymore. Sorry.
It's about the person. It should be fine.
Okay.
That being said, I think that is tech. I think that's absolutely tech. And I'm not only going to give it to you, I'm going to give you extra points for going outside of the computer world. I think that you get extra points for that.
Okay. Well, 100%. Huzzah.
Yeah, good job. Good job. Thank Great you. Job. Yeah.
I do what I can.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up today. So, as always, we need to say a huge, huge thank you to our Patreon patrons, James Peters.
Leslie Sedlak.
Laura Red Scott.
Stuart Hume.
Brad Roberts.
Rob McLennan.
Rival Guy.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
Brad McGowan.
Seth M. Davis. For some reason, I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was Brad Davis and Seth M. McGowan.
Those two people as well.
New glasses. They're trifocals, folks.
Well, you should try harder. Casey Lee.
Hawk Robinson.
Jay Blanken.
Dougie Sharp.
Bo Pritchard.
Gordon Duduke.
And this week's episode is brought to you by the letters Lotajerv.
Yay! All of them.
No episode of Sesame Street has ever ended like that. Not even the one where Mr. Hooper died and that one Muppet got AIDS.